You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Mara Carabello, as we talk about all the interesting things. Mara, I read an article recently, probably in The Atlantic, by Jonathan Haidt, who is a conservative political scholar, right? So he, you may have heard of him, listeners. He's the one who did the moral foundations theories and like how our morality's kind of moral positive things, but they speak past each other, right? Which causes quite a bit of the problems that we have in our country. Well, recently he did an article about how cell phones are stealing the childhood of the next generation. So Mara, people have since said he cherry picked research. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They weren't really persuaded. I only read the Atlantic article. The book is coming out in a little bit, and then I'll read the whole book, and then I'll have feelings about his method, I'm sure. But basically the gist of his argument was the kids are sadder. They have more mental health issues. The big chart that was really cool was like, they don't go out to play.
Right.
Right. So it was like some ridiculous number of students used to spend 1 to 2 hours to 3 hours to 4 hours a week, you know, wandering a mall with their friend or hanging out with their friends. And now they just really don't do that. Haidt said this is a collective health issue and the government has to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Looks like Indiana picked up that challenge and they have passed a law banning cell phones. One of the things Haidt said was, how do you fix it? And one of the things was no cell phones in school. So basically give the kids 7 hours every day free from no devices at all. Indiana passed a law banning cell phones, tablets, laptops, gaming devices. They've got exemptions for like medical issues, or if there's an IEP, the person needs a technology for their IEP. If there's some kind of emergency, right, they're not going to. And what I kind of like about it is that it's not locking down, like turning off the Wi-Fi, because my goodness, what if something horrible happens and the Wi-Fi is turned off and you can't call for help, right? But basically they are banning them. So I was interested, Mara. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago with Amy Winder Newton, senior advisor to Governor Cox and director of the Office of Families, about kind of the impact of social media, because this is something that Governor Cox thinks a lot about. And I wanted to bring her back and kind of chat about this new kind of development in Indiana and this article. Amy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here. And I think the last time we had a conversation, it was about, you know, how dangerous social media was. And I remember we were talking about, like, what are some rules that we could do as parents, really just to get it out of the hands of our kids. But Amy, what do you think about these moves in Indiana? And there's a few other states that are thinking about it, but Indiana is, I think, the first one that's like, boom, right? Cell phones are now no longer allowed in school. What do you think about that? What's your takeaway?
You know, I think it's a really smart move. I think Indiana is right on when they're looking at the harms to kids, both for their educational and learning, but also just the distraction piece. I mean, it's crazy how they've done studies. In fact, Jonathan Haidt that you mentioned, he's done a study where they have phones like left on the desk or in a child's pocket or out of the room, and how they do educationally. And there's a difference with how close their phone is to them and how they pay attention in class. And I just think, you know, this is something we've got to look at. So let me tell you what Governor Cox has done, because he also agrees that cell phones in schools are not helpful. And so in January, he issued a letter to principals, school administrators, school community council members, and even the Utah State Board of Education. He had separate letters for each of the groups, and sent him a letter and said, help us, please look at your policies, discuss with the parents in your community and with, you know, your teachers, and figure out a good cell phone policy for your school. And in those letters, he quoted Delta High School in Millard School District, and their assistant principal, and how he said it was a battle to begin with, but it's been so worth it. Students and parents have all adapted. Our teachers are happier and learning has increased. He also mentioned Evergreen Junior High and Granite School District. They don't allow cell phones to be out any time during the day. So that even includes in the classrooms, in the halls, and the lunchrooms. And he said it's just easier to ban them all together. And our learning has improved. Scores reflect that. The bullying and fighting have decreased. And the students connect with each other in a more meaningful way. And so he says, though, that they really needed the community council to give help them have that support. And that's one of the problems is we keep hearing these parents fighting against these and saying, well, I need to be able to call my child and find out what size of pants I should buy them at the store or whatever as they're going through their day. And that's concerning to me that parents don't get why this is so critical.
Yeah, so I love the approach we're taking in that it's not a universal ban without discussion. It really is relying a little more. I think for me, to bring just some dimensions to the conversation, I think we are relying largely on anecdotal research and not longitudinal. Frankly, I don't think we've had the time. So I don't mean that as an indictment. And I think most everyone believes there's a harmful impact, but it still begs the role of government question. And my question is that I believe over time, and looking at all behavioral sort of behavioral notions, that prohibitions, absolute prohibitions, don't tend to lead to cultural changes. They lead to behavioral changes. And I worry when the government comes with a prohibition when really, if we do think our children will have to negotiate, and frankly, us, we, how well are we doing negotiating having technology in our life? I would love to see us putting as much energy into it being culturally unacceptable to always be on our phone, to be that dependent on technology, to have our relationships. So where does the role of educating us, because this is going to be something in our children's lives, where does the role not just maybe of banning, but in fact educating about why we want to learn self-control when it comes to technology? I know you think about this a lot, Amy, and so how have you guys started to think about infusing a deeper level of understanding and education of our own self-control?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Mara, because we are terrible examples as adults.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we,
exactly.
You know, like you look at even in meetings when we're at work, like, are we really putting our phones down and fully engaging? No, we're terrible examples. And so our kids are watching us. And I think that's the number one issue right there. And you just nailed it, is we've got to figure out how do we make this a culturally unacceptable practice. I will tell you, my husband and I are in Dallas, Texas right now for the eclipse. We got to see the eclipse and it was awesome. And we were at a restaurant last night and I said, oh my gosh, look around. Nobody in here is on their phones. Like, that is crazy. Like, we don't see that very often. And it's true. Like, I started to pay attention when, you know, are people interacting with each other? Like, what are they doing? And that was so rare for me to look around a restaurant and nobody was on their phone. And so I do agree. We've got to educate. We have to set the example. I mean, that is the most important thing right there, is setting the example as adults on this. And you know, I got to be honest, like, our legislature looked at this, not this last session, but the one before. They looked at doing a bill to ban cell phones in classrooms. And, you know, I think it came down to they decided, hey, we'd rather let local control be the decision makers here, and we'll roll it down to the district level and they can decide what they're going to do. And the governor's been supportive of that. But, you know, we do need more education on this. We need kids to understand what it's doing to their ability to focus, to their mental health, and those are definite things that we need to do.
Yeah, no, and Amy, I appreciate so much you being here with us. I just got signal. We only have a minute left. I feel like this is a 2-hour conversation and someday we just have to have it. But what I liked about what Indiana did, all of your points, both of you, totally well taken, is it's not the teacher having the fight with the student, right? Like, so it is, look, the legislature said you can't have your phone. The legislature also says you can't smoke on campus, right?
Like, gave them the power.
Right, you just kind of go, look, we've got some unacceptable behaviors, you know, and not that the big bad is the government, right? But you just like the legislature make those rules. Anyway, but I appreciate the work. Amy Winder Newton, Senior Advisor to Governor Cox, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about this a lot, right? And I think,
well, because it's not going away.
It's not. And we've got to figure it out.
And we do know it's a detriment to all of us. And how do we, and again, I always like to separate the question of the problem from the role of government. Yeah. Whether you're on the left or the right, I think that exercise of identifying specific problems and then identifying who plays what role,
that's right,
is the best policy's path.
So next up on KSL at Night, I want to stay with tech a little bit, Mara. We'll talk about at the nation's capital, there's a sweeping proposal about what tech companies get to do with consumer data. Stay with us.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.